Let me just add a situation that happened, I think, last week. One of our retired lieutenants, Tim Endres, that some of you know at Goretti, great neighborhood coordination. Family was out in the yard doing some landscaping, and a group of juveniles just walking by, and someone said in that group, as they walked by St. Maria Goretti, "We ought to burglarize St. Maria Goretti. We ought to figure out our way to get in there." That church is near and dear to me. I was baptized there, and I go there now. So Tim called me up. We alerted officers. They gave it some extra patrol. Those neighbors are better than any alarm system because they probably told a bunch of people, and there's eyes on it. Father Mike's on it. Tim's on it. The police department's on it. And we can't do that for every single house, but it leads to the coordination that needs to happen and people talking about and sharing that information. Now, maybe those kids were just saying it to get a rise out of someone, but it certainly put everyone on alert, especially in this neighborhood, and that's what needs to happen, and that's the type of prevention that's out there, is eyeballs like yours. There's a lot more you folks in the neighborhood than there are police officers in the neighborhood.
Question.
How many of these young people, or you know, adolescents, are from out of town versus living here? Do you have any statistics?
You mean coming into town to commit the burglaries?
No, just coming through, like for 3 or 4 months, you know, living here.
You know, I don't know. You know, that's not the type of thing that we track. You know, my impression is that these are mainly people that live in the area. You know, and they're. It's mainly opportunity for the juveniles, and they're just places that they can probably reach on foot from where they live, and that they're residents.
Sure.
Any statistics on time of day the numbers by month, but equal day versus night?
You know, we try to look at that, but the time of day is so hard for burglaries because, you know, you go on vacation for a week, you come home, your house is burglarized, we don't know. Or you're gone at work for 8 hours, you come back and it's burglarized. So it's very hard to pinpoint. But to answer your question, I mean, it's really all over. Some are during the day, some are evening, some are late night. And we haven't seen a spike or a trend that's been anything consistent enough for us to say we need to focus here, either time of day or day of week.
Yeah, I do have another question here. Small children, ages 10 to 15 at times can be a problem. Foul language, just general disturbances. First, what can the police do? And second, what can a general person do to control this behavior? And if it's a serious violation, can they be arrested, detained, prosecuted?
You know, this kind of thing is... You know, frankly, it's a tough nut to crack because it's one of the things that has a significant impact on people's quality of life when you have kids making noise and just generally being misbehaved. That's just not behavior that the police are well suited or designed to address. For that kind of behavior to rise to the level where it would even be something that we could take action in terms of a citation or arrest, it would have to be pretty egregious. And even that, I think, is not, you know, the optimal way to do it. You know, perfect world, you're in a neighborhood where you see the kids acting up and you can talk to their parents and their parents are going to do something about it. And I understand that's not always the situation we're living in. But unfortunately, they call them the cops. And I'm not telling you not to call, because certainly call us if there's behavior going on. But there's really not a lot we can do. You know, we just talked about the limitations of the criminal justice system for people that commit burglaries, and so
foul language
and just being misbehaving is not something that we're well suited to fix.
What would you do if it happened, you know, and you weren't in uniform, they didn't realize you were a police officer? What would you do if, like,
five, six kids walking down the street, swearing and tipping over trash cans, and you know.
For me personally, I think it depends on if I'm in my neighborhood where I live, I'm going to try to find out where they live, and I'm going to talk to their parents about it, or I'm going to follow up on it. If it's not where I live, if I'm on State Street or something, you know, if I'm just not going to, if it's nothing that's personally injuring anybody or criminal behavior, criminal activity, I'm not going to get involved with it if I'm off duty. If it's in my neighborhood, then I'm going to try to deal with their parents and get them to, you know, exert some influence on them.
As I look out over this crowd, I expect all of you grew up about like I did. Even the police officer where I lived would say, I'm going to tell your parents. That's what neighbors would say. That's what anybody would say. And that was enough.
You know,
think that's quite so forceful anymore.
The other thing you can do, I mean, if they're real young, like yesterday in Hammersley, there's a 10-year-old that's just the bully in the neighborhood, and he's going after these 4 and 5-year-olds wanting to hit them. And granted, I was on duty, but I just talked to the mom about it, but I also talked to the kid. So granted, you might not feel comfortable talking to a 12-year-old or some big 12-year-olds or whatever, but if they're still at that young age where you're not physically threatened, stop them, ask, well, what are you doing? Why are you talking like that? You would be amazed the look on their face that you actually heard it. You might be 30 yards away, you know, doing something in your garden, but you still heard it, and your kids heard it. So there is still, cops enjoy that age where they're still 9 and under. They still have a little bit of trust. They still, you know, don't want to get in trouble. They still think that we're going to haul them off to jail. They don't understand it. So if they're in that 6, 7, 8, 9-year age, address them directly. Johnny, you know, and get right in their face. Do you eat with that mouth? You know, I mean, engage them so they recognize. Because either they might not know or they might not care. But at least, one, you'll get the satisfaction after off of telling them. And two, they might not have ever heard it before. So that's what I'd do.
Maurice, what would you do?
I would absolutely approach the kids. I mean, it depends, I suppose, on how large the group is or what the case may be. But I've been in that situation before where there's young kids that are acting rowdy, and maybe they don't realize that it's inappropriate, or maybe they don't think anyone is bothered by it, and you approach them, and especially if you're in a situation where it's your neighborhood, you approach them and say, hey, what are you guys up to? You know, especially certainly in a situation where you see someone being bullied, I feel it's my responsibility as an adult to step in and say, listen, you guys need to cool out. You need to go home. You can't treat this kid like that. I as an adult, I think we're in a church, and I'm going to try not to preach at you, but I think we're a very passive society, right? And so we like to think, well, that's not my business, and I don't know them, and I don't know their situation, their parents or whatever, but this is our community, right? And we care that it stays strong, that it stays safe, that these kids have people who are influential in their lives that can say, listen, that type of behavior, that's not the way you do it. And maybe they don't have that in their immediate vicinity, but if they're acting up in front of your house or in a school that you tutor in, I think you step up and say, listen, I see what you're doing there. Let me talk to you for a minute. That's what I would do, and I can say I have done a couple times.
How about a little bit about how we can best work with you?
Well, I think one of the, a couple things, I think, take sort of the prevention suggestions, some of the things we talked about to reduce your risk of becoming a victim to heart, and really put it into practice, because you know, prevention goes a long way towards addressing some of these issues, and that's all of our responsibilities. The other thing is, and Mike kind of alluded to it, is if you're a victim or something happens or you see something suspicious, is call. By all means, call us. I can't tell you how many times I hear from citizens where they say, oh yeah, you know, my window got broken, or this happened, or someone broke in, or I saw this suspicious, but I didn't call. And then, you know, we're a data-driven agency. And if you don't call and it doesn't get in the system and on that crimereports.com and in our numbers, then it didn't happen as far as we're concerned. So that's why we need to hear from you. We really need to know that, what's going on. And that allows us to do our job more effectively, I think.
there's a, another meeting about alarms, et cetera. Is there anyone that's more efficient than another? That, I mean, not that I'm asking for a specific company, but is it advantageous to have an alarm?
For like a residential, okay, private alarm?
Correct.
You know, the only reason I would want to have a private alarm is to have a panic alarm, you know, if for some reason I got hurt and I couldn't get to the phone to dial 911. You know, I mean, I don't have an alarm in my house and I don't have any confidence that it would do anything to prevent burglars or lead to the apprehension of burglars.
Why wouldn't having an alarm them enough not to come into your home?
So you think you're talking about two different alarms?
You mean the, like an intrusion alarm, so you're, I mean, I think one, they don't pay that close attention to see if there is an alarm. I think a lot of people have those little fake signs up that say, yeah, you know, I've got this great alarm system, and they don't. And a lot of these guys are going to be in and out of there in a matter of minutes. You know, if you want to keep people from breaking into your house, get a big dog that barks. And literally, that's true. There's data that supports that houses with dogs that bark are less likely to be burglars.
So the one that says protected by Smith & Wesson, that's that.
I just saw the one that we don't call 911.
Yes.
But to your point, you know, there's alarms. There are alarms that call some security company that hopefully call the police. But then there are just chintzy little alarms that you can put on your door that if you know you're going to be out of town, it's going to make noise if your door opens up. I think if you, for the sake of peace of mind, I think if you had something like that, that's probably going to do just as much, if not more, than one of those expensive monthly ones that that might call a security company, because that's going to make noise and that's going to scare somebody.
And if you want to spend your money on something that is going to help us make an arrest, get a trail cam.
A camera.
You know, it's designed to, you know, you put it out in the woods and then it's a motion sensor, and so people get pictures of wildlife and stuff like that. But literally, you can, you know, we go to so many of these and here's a broken window, someone broke in, you know, there's not much to go on. And I talked about how the alarms usually don't lead, we're not going to get there in time, but if you got a trail cam that can give us pictures. There's a surprising number of residents that we're starting to see who actually have their own cameras, security cameras set up in their homes. And that's the kind of thing that can be helpful to us. I'm not saying you all have to go out and get security cams, but a trail cam is inexpensive and easy to maintain, and there's no service.
Some of these systems now will even broadcast a signal to your cell phone.
Yeah. I've got a couple of Ross cams at my house, because at least for my house and maybe a lot of other people, we're all wired with Wi-Fi anyway, and those just work off of your current Wi-Fi, they're not inexpensive. The whole thing's going to be less than $500 for everything. It's about $10 a month, and it keeps a week's worth of movies, 24/7 for a week. So if anything happens, you have a week's worth of movies to find out and to take pictures of. It works pretty well. I had no Wi-Fi break in this when I was away recently, but you would have been able to identify people.
Lieutenant Hanson?